the book of the virtues of the prophet, of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the author of Sahih Muslim have devoted a whole book in his book Sahih Muslim regarding the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their virtues. This is to show that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are people who the Muslims must love and respect so much, because first of all they were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were picked up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the fact that they are the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that they must be a good choice, they must be something good. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said so many good things about them in his book, he have described them in his book with a lot of good descriptions, and he said in his book that he is pleased with them and that they are pleased with him. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that he is pleased with them is sufficient, is enough for us to know who are those people. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them that they were the best people which were ever taken out for all mankind. The best people, because they were very concerned to carry this message of Islam to others, to order the good and to forbid the evil. They were very concerned to take the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all people. That is why by the time of Umar radiallahu anh, Islam reached Iraq and reached Egypt and reached Persia and many other parts of the world. And at the time of Uthman radiallahu anh, it went further and further. And at the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anh, it reached even some parts of near Europe. And later on, Islam reached further into Europe, and it reached all the way to China, and it almost reached France at that time. So this was due to the concern of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to carry the truth to others. And this was a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Islam spread so much, so fast, because it reached China and it reached France within almost 35 or 40 years only after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this shows great clearness and acceptance of Islam. Now, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the best of all mankind. He said, "The best of all mankind are my generation, and then the next generation, and then the next." His generation was the companions. So they were the best of all mankind. Of course, they were the best after the prophets and messengers, because we know that the prophets and messengers have the highest rank amongst all humans. They were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach their nations and to carry the truth to their nations. So Allah's prophets and messengers are the best people. They were all following the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is to worship him alone and not to associate any partner with him in worship. None of those prophets was calling people to worship him or to consider him a god or a lord or whatever, because this is a great insult to the true Lord, and that is Allah. There is no other Lord but him. And after the prophets and messengers, the companions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the best of all mankind, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said. Now, the companions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also of different ranks. Some of them are of more higher ranks than others. The highest of those companions in rank is Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to die, he assigned Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to pray instead of him, to lead the congregation prayers. When some woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was ill at the end, towards the end of his life, she wanted to ask him something. He told her, come back tomorrow, because he was not feeling very well. He was feeling painful. So she noticed that he was very ill and that he could die. So she asked him, she said, what if I don't find you tomorrow? He said, if you don't find me tomorrow, then come to Abu Bakr. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he did not say clearly that the one after me who should lead the Muslims must be Abu Bakr, he hinted towards that by assigning him to lead the prayers and by telling the woman to come to Abu Bakr, and many other hints. The fact that he did not point directly to him is because he wanted to leave the matter to be of common consultation amongst the Muslims, shura. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this is he wanted to initiate this sunnah of shura, and that is the Muslims must choose the best one amongst them to be their leader. Now, regarding Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was the most faithful and the most knowledgeable amongst all companions. Of course, he was the first man to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to accept the message of Islam. And he did so without any hesitation. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about Islam and told him that he is the messenger of Allah, he accepted the guidance and he followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, he knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very well. He knew him since he was very young. And he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most truthful amongst all people, and that he was the most honest. And even those people who did not believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said that he is the messenger of Allah, they were describing him to be the most trustworthy and the most honest and the most truthful. But when he said that he is the messenger of Allah and that he is receiving revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they told him, you are a liar, and that you are dealing with magic, and that you are being taught by people of the book, Jews and Christians and so on. So they made up all kinds of excuses not to follow him. So, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, upon hearing the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him, he immediately accepted with no hesitation whatsoever. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most compassionate man amongst the other companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the most generous. It is narrated that he gave all his wealth in one of the battles. He gave everything that he owned towards that battle to make the Muslims strong in that battle. To the degree that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What have you left for your family?" he said, "I left Allah and His Messenger. Enough is Allah." So in this two hadith we find that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was of no equal amongst the other companions. He was of no equal in his faith. He was of no equal in his compassion and mercy. He was of no equal in his courage. And he was of no equal in his generosity, and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said also in a true hadith that if the faith of Abu Bakr is put in one side of the scale and the faith of all my nation altogether is put in the other part of the scale, the faith of Abu Bakr will outweigh all my nation. And this shows that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had so much strong faith that no one could compare to him. No one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could compare to him. And of course, he is mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first hadith where he brings about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, when the pagans, the disbelievers, were following me and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were migrating from Mecca to Medina, and he said, we were in the cave. So the disbelievers came near us. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, if one of those disbelievers looks towards his feet, he will see us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two persons who Allah is their third? So in this hadith, we see very clearly how much Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was concerned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the glad news that Allah is with them. He is with them by his might and by his victory. He is the one who will support them. So he is with them with his support and his victory. Also, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat one day in his place in the masjid, and he said about himself that he has been given a choice between this life and between the next life, the hereafter. So he chose the next life, or he chose what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the heavens, the paradise. So upon hearing this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cried, he wept, and he said, we protect you by our fathers and mothers. So the companions looked strange at Abu Bakr. Why is he crying? And of course, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, upon hearing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hinting towards his death. So that's why he cried. We will continue inshallah this hadith next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Today our topic will be a continuation of the virtues of Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. And as we mentioned last time, that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned in his book that he has been pleased with them. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have different ranks. The Muhajireen, the Ansar, the ones who became Muslims earlier than others. And we started with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was the first man to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the man who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with no hesitation whatsoever from the beginning, from the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him to Islam. He accepted the call with no hesitation whatsoever. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once have mentioned in the presence of the companions, and amongst them was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He mentioned about himself, about the fact that he will be dying, but he did not say this in his talk. He said that a slave of Allah, meaning himself, have been given the choice between the glare of this life and the beauty of this life and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prepared for him, meaning for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with him. That is, he have been given a choice between this life and between what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this slave has chosen what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood this, and he understood from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has chosen that which is with Allah, that he has chosen death, that he has chosen to leave this life. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, upon understanding this, he wept, he was crying. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, we sacrifice our fathers and mothers for you. And of course, the companions did not know why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was weeping and why is he saying this. So the narrator of the hadith said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a slave of Allah, a man, was given the choice, he meant himself, that he was the one who has given the choice, and that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most knowledgeable amongst us about him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon seeing the reaction of Abu Bakr and seeing him weeping and saying this, he said that the most amongst you whom I owe favor to in his wealth and in his companionship is Abu Bakr. He said he is the one
with the most favor in his wealth and in his companionship. Then he said, if I were to take a close, beloved friend, I would take Abu Bakr as the most close, beloved friend. But I have chosen Allah to be my most close, beloved friend. But between me and Abu Bakr is the brotherhood of Islam. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is stating that of all mankind, he would have chosen Abu Bakr to be his most close friend. But he said that I have chosen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be my most close beloved friend. And the most close beloved friend is called in Arabic Khalil, just like the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was Khalilullah. He also was taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the most close beloved friend to him. So in this hadith we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing the position of Abu Bakr, that he would choose Abu Bakr in this position, the most beloved person to him. But he has chosen this position for Allah alone, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, one of the companions, said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him in one of the battles. So Amr ibn al-As says, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked him, who amongst the people is the most beloved to you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, meaning his wife, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, I mean amongst the men, who amongst the men is the most beloved to you? He said, her father, which is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, then who? He said, then Umar radiallahu anhu. And he mentioned a few other companions. So in this hadith we find that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is the most beloved person or the most beloved man to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling his companions a story which happened in the previous nations. He said, a man was pulling his cow where he have burdened it with a lot of heavy weight. He have put a lot of heavy weight on it. So the cow turned her face to the man and she told him, I have not been created for this. In other words, I have not been created for this job, so that you carry anything on me. This is not my job. I have been created to help you in the harvesting and so on. So the people said, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. They were amazed, how could a cow be talking? Because the cow turned her face to the man and she was talking to him. She was telling him such and such. So the people were amazed by this. They said, Subhanallah. And this is actually the expression that the Muslim must use when he is amazed of something. He should say, Subhanallah. This is good to protect us against envy, against hasad, because when someone gets amazed of something and he does not remember Allah, he does not say Subhanallah or Masha'Allah or Tabarakallah, then his eye might cause an envy to the person whom he is amazed with, or to the thing that he is amazed with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The eye is true al-ayn haq," meaning that an eye could reach with evil to some person or something. If you see something and you get amazed of it, then you should say, you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not just say, look how big this is or how such and such this is, because this might cause evil to that thing. So to say subhanallah is our way to show our amazement. When we are amazed of something, we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, we say Allahu Akbar, things like that. Because many people nowadays follow the path of the non-believers. When they get amazed at something, they might say bad words, or they might say something which is meaningless, but the Muslim, upon being amazed of something, he should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Muslims said subhanallah, cow talks, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately said, "I believe in this, and Abu Bakr and Umar do so." So the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith, that "I believe in this, and also Abu Bakr and Umar," shows their high rank in faith, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the highest rank in faith of this nation and of all mankind. And the fact that he mentioned Abu Bakr and Umar means that he knew that Abu Bakr and Umar had the full faith in what he said. So that's why he mentioned them immediately, because he knows Abu Bakr and Umar, he knows his companions. So in this hadith we find that Abu Bakr and Umar are of the highest ranking faith amongst all the companions. Also, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that when Umar radiallahu anhu was put on his bed after being stabbed by someone, he was about to die, and it was the way of the Muslims that when someone is dying, when he is on the bed of death, they come to him and they mention his good deeds that he was doing. So this is to give him more hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when someone is on the deathbed, then some believers should be there to comfort him, to remind him of his good deeds. If he was giving a lot of charity, they should remind him of this. If he have fought for the sake of Allah, they should remind him of this fighting. If he has been kind to his parents, if he has been ordering the good and forbidding the evil, he should be reminded of all his good deeds to raise his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make him more hopeful of Allah and of his mercy at that time. So this is very important for the Muslims to practice, and unfortunately we don't find this sunnah followed by most of the Muslims nowadays. Many ignorants, when they come to the person who is dying, they probably just sit beside him and weep and create a lot of noise, and they might make him more miserable at that time, and this is not good. So the way that we should do at that time, it is very beneficial for the person who is dying to have a strong trust in Allah and his mercy at that time. And in order for us to achieve this, we should remind him of the good things that he was doing at that time. And this is the way Abdullah ibn Abbas did. So Abdullah ibn Abbas says, I was there with Umar radiallahu anhu at that time when he was about to die. Then he said, I was surprised by a man who put his hands on my shoulders from behind. I looked at him and I saw that he was Ali radiallahu anhu, the cousin of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he said, may the mercy of Allah be upon you, Umar. And then he said, I have not wished to have the actions of someone better than you. He said, I wish that I meet with Allah with actions like your actions. Then he said, I swear by Allah that I wish for you that Allah will make you with your two companions, meaning Abu Bakr and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, because it was so often that I was hearing from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was saying, I came and Abu Bakr and Umar with me. I entered and Abu Bakr and Umar with me. I left and Abu Bakr and Umar with me. Meaning that Abu Bakr and Umar were so much close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would come with them and go with them. He would enter with them and leave with them so much, showing that they were close companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you with them. He will make you with them in their position, which shows the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the position of Umar radiallahu anhu. And of course the position of Umar radiallahu anhu is the next after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I mentioned previously, said that if the faith of Abu Bakr would be weighed with the faith of all this nation, his faith will outweigh. And then he said, if the faith of Umar is weighed, his faith will outweigh. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Our topic today will be a continuation of the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while I was sleeping, I saw people in my sleep, and I saw them wearing clothes, shirts, long shirts. Some of them had their shirts up to only their chests, and some of them had their shirts longer than that. Then Umar radiallahu anhu passed by me, and he had a long shirt to the degree that he was pulling it, meaning that his shirt was all the way up till his feet and pulling it. So they said, the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did you explain this dream, or what do you explain this dream with? He said, the faith, meaning the shirt represents the shirt represents the faith. So when I saw the people, some of them with their shirt up to their chest, and some of them with longer, That is their faith. And when I saw Umar with his shirt all the way up to his foot and he was pulling it, that means that his faith was so much and so great. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when I was sleeping, I dreamt of paradise, and I saw a woman making ablution near the castle in paradise, near a castle in paradise. So I asked, who is this? Who does this woman belong to? They said, she belongs to Umar radiallahu anhu. So I remembered how jealous Umar was, so I left that place. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the narrator of the hadith, said when Umar heard this, he was weeping. And he said, would I be jealous on you, O Messenger of Allah? So in this hadith, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he dreams of something, then it is true. All the Prophet's dream is true. The shaitan do not play with the dreams of the Prophets. It is not the situation for us. When we dream of something, it could be true, and it could be something which is the make of the devil. So this is something that we must be fully understanding, that only the prophets who had their dreams all true. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Umar radiallahu anhu in paradise, then that means that Umar radiallahu anhu is one of the people who is in paradise. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a true hadith that Abu Bakr is in paradise, and Umar is in paradise, and Uthman is in paradise, and Ali is in paradise, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf is in paradise, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is in paradise, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah is in paradise, Talha ibn Ubaidillah is in paradise, Az-Zubayr ibn Awam is in paradise, and Sa'id ibn Zayd is in paradise. Sa'id ibn Zayd was one of the old companions who became Muslim earlier than Umar radiallahu anhu, and he was the husband of Umar's daughter, and she became Muslim before her father. But of course, Umar was one of the earliest Muslims. His Islam was early also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu is in paradise, and in this hadith he is showing his rank in paradise. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrates about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that in the past nations there might have been people who would be inspired. So in my nation, if anyone would be so, it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. Also, Umar radiallahu anhu said, I have become in agreement with my Lord in three places, in the matter of the veil, the covering of the woman, and the matter of the hostages of the Battle of Badr, and the matter of Maqam Ibrahim, the position of Ibrahim near the Kaaba. So what Umar radiallahu anhu means, that he said something regarding those issues, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran which was similar to what Umar radiallahu anhu said. Now, this is regarding the position of Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar was the second Khalifa. He was he was a recommendation of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, before his death, recommended Umar for the Muslims. He said, I recommend him for you. And of course, all the Muslims, without any hesitation, accepted Umar radiallahu anhu to be their Khalifa. No Muslim have objected to it in any way. And he was very much known for his justice. Umar radiallahu anhu was so just in his time that he was an example of all just people after him. And he was merciful to his people. It is narrated that once he was moving around to check whether things are all right with the people, and he passed by a house where he heard the cry of some children. So he came nearer to the house, and he found out that there are children inside who are hungry, and that their old mother is cooking stones for them just to make them think that there is food in the pot. She was boiling water with stones just to comfort them, or to make them think that there is food, and therefore they will be waiting and then they'll sleep. So Umar radiallahu anhu cried upon seeing this, and he immediately went to the Baytul Mal, to the place of wealth and food, and he carried the food on his back to bring it to this house. His servant said, let me carry this for you. He said, no, you will not carry my burden on the day of judgment, so I will not let you carry this for me now. So he carried it by himself, and he came to this house, and he put the food in the pot for her, and he cooked it for her until he made sure that all her children ate all right, and then he left, and he told her to come tomorrow, and he will give her the supply, the necessary supply. And also Umar radiallahu anhu was so strong regarding issues of truth. When it was something which was the truth, then he would not be lenient with it. He would not compromise with the truth. And this should be the situation with the believer, that when it comes to the truth, he should be accepting it, and he should be acting by it, despite the fact that some people might not like it, and so on. So this was the situation with Umar radiallahu anhu, and as I mentioned also, that the Muslim nation became much bigger at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Islam spread. Amr ibn al-As, one of the leaders which Umar radiallahu anhu sent to Egypt, conquered Egypt, and they also opened the Palestine, Jerusalem, and it became for the Muslims at that time, and many other countries became under the banner of Islam, and the people were so much happy with Umar radiallahu anhu and his justice at his time. Then the author goes to the next companion after Umar radiallahu anhu, and that is Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him. Now, one of the companions says that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive, we were saying in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the best amongst us is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hearing this, and he was approving it by keeping quiet and not objecting to it. And of course, when the Prophet ﷺ approves something, then that is the truth that the Muslim must accept. So at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the companions were believing that the best amongst them is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. And this was approved after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, when Abu Bakr was assigned to be the first Khalif, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And all the Muslims agreed to that. No one had any objection whatsoever to that. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was laying down in my house. He was revealing his shin. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anha came inside. So he allowed him to come inside. He permitted him while he was on that situation. His shin was showing. Then he was talking. Then Umar radiallahu anhu came. Then he permitted him. Then Uthman asked for permission, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down. He changed his position to cover his shin. And of course, when Aisha asked him about this, he said, shouldn't I be shy of someone who the angels are shy from, meaning Uthman radiallahu anhu. This shows that the character of Uthman radiallahu anhu was that he is more shy than others. Inshallah, we will continue virtues of Uthman رضي الله عنه next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. We were talking yesterday about the virtues of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He is one of the earliest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was one of the first Muslims. As a matter of fact, he became Muslim after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Abu Bakr told him about Islam, he accepted Islam. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was one of the beloved companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much that he gave him one of his daughters as a wife, and then she died when she was married to Uthman radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him another daughter of his as his second wife, and she died also. May Allah be pleased with her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Uthman, had I had another daughter, I would give her to you as your wife, which shows the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Uthman radiallahu anhu. And it is also narrated that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman were on the mountain of Uhud in Medina. And when they were on that mountain, the mountain shook. Now, the scholars say that the mountain shook as a pleasure sign because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his three companions were standing on it. So it shook as a sign of pleasure. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
O Uhud, he was talking to the mountain, O Uhud, be still, for there is no one standing above you except a prophet and a Siddiq, which was Abu Bakr, and two martyrs, meaning Umar and Uthman, radiallahu anhuma. And of course, both Umar and Uthman were killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We left the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim, where she was talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was laying down in her house with his shin uncovered. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked permission to enter, he gave him permission, and he was still laying down just like he was. He did not move. So Abu Bakr entered, and then Umar asked permission, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission, and he was still in his place. He did not move. Then Uthman asked permission to enter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down from his position, and he covered his shin. So Aisha radiallahu anha was kind of surprised, and she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why did he do so? When Abu Bakr asked permission, he did not change his position. He was still laying down with his shin uncovered. And when Umar asked permission, he did the same thing. But when Uthman asked permission, he changed his position and he covered his shin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shouldn't I be shy from a man who the angels are shy from, meaning Uthman radiallahu anhu? Because Uthman radiallahu anhu was known to be shy, very, very shy. And shyness in Islam is considered altogether to be good. Nothing in it is no good or disadvantageous. Now we are talking about the shyness which does not involve anything wrong. For example, one cannot be shy to speak the truth when he has to speak the truth. This is not shyness, this is cowardness. But shyness is within the limits of the Sharia, within the limits of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shyness is good for both women and men, and especially for women. So in this hadith we see the position of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showing his respect and his shyness of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he said that the angels are shy from Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Uthman radiallahu anhu was third person amongst the companions whom the other companions used to respect most. And as I mentioned the hadith yesterday, that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were saying that the best of us is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hearing all this, and he did not object to it, meaning he approved what they say, meaning that this is the situation. We should be looking at the companions. And this was put into practice after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen by the Muslims to be the first Khalif, and then Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Uthman radiallahu anhu. So in this we see very clearly the position of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was a very generous person. In one of the battles, he gave all the wealth that he had for trade. He gave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support the Muslims in that battle. and he bought a whole well of water, and he made it for all Muslims to use. And he had a lot of situations where he was so generous with his wealth to spend it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was unfortunately killed by some ignorant, crooked criminals who entered his house forcibly, and they killed him. And they reached him because he insisted that all the guards must leave, because he said that I don't want any Muslim's blood to be shed for my sake. And as a matter of fact, he knew that he will be killed in a certain affliction, in a certain trouble that will happen to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned in the hadith earlier, when they were on the mountain of Uhud, he said, "Still Uhud, or be still Uhud, because there is only a prophet and a siddiq and two martyrs above you." And one of those two martyrs was Uthman radiallahu anhu. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Uthman that he will be killed in a trouble that will happen in his time. And as a matter of fact, there is two narration where Uthman radiallahu anhu, before being killed, the night before being killed, he saw in his dream the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him, "O Uthman, break your fast with us tomorrow," meaning in paradise. And that's why Uthman woke up that day, and he intended to fast that day. And after he prayed Fajr, he sat down to recite Quran, and then immediately those three or two crooked criminals came into his house forcibly, and they killed him. Now, the killing of Uthman radiallahu anhu was actually a great problem for the Muslims. It opened the gate of afflictions later on. And after Uthman radiallahu anhu came the fourth Khalifa, who was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was the first boy to become a Muslim. When he was a young boy, he followed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, praying with him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taking care of him instead of his father Abu Talib. And Ali radiallahu anhu was so much beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was very pious and very knowledgeable, and he was very brave and sacrificing a lot for the sake of Islam and for the sake of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him so much, and he trusted him so much. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also gave him his daughter Fatima as a wife. Of course, Fatima was the cousin of Ali radiallahu anhu, and from Fatima he had Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. May Allah be pleased with them. So Ali radiallahu anhu was one of the most close companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a two hadith that Abu Bakr is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah, Uthman is in Jannah, and Ali is in Jannah. And he mentioned six others
which we mentioned last time. So from this we know the virtue of this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu was known specially for his braveness and for his knowledge. He was known for his braveness when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battles, in the battle of Khandaq. He challenged some of the most strong leaders of Arabs, and in the battle of Uhud, before he killed some of the most famous and strong Arabs, and also in the other battles, and also when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, it is narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ali to be in his place on his bed. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left his house, Ali radiallahu anhu was laying down in his bed, and at that time, of course, the mushriks, the disbelievers, were surrounding the house, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to take some dust and throw it at them, and they will go to sleep. They will not feel when he goes out. So he did so, and he left the house, and Ali radiallahu anhu stayed in his place. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, he was on his way. The mushriks woke up. They did not know what happened. So they felt that something is wrong, and they felt that they were not cautious for a while. So they immediately checked the house, and they did not find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also Ali radiallahu anhu, after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was known for his great knowledge amongst the companions. Umar radiallahu anhu was especially taking the advice of Ali radiallahu anhu. In many situations he would go to Ali radiallahu anhu and take his advice for some problems. This was the way the companions treating each other. They were loving each other, respecting each other, knowing the rank of each other. And this is because they were so much faithful, and they had the strongest faith in all this nation. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu, due to his braveness, once in one battle, in the battle of Tabuk, he was left behind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to stay behind. And Ali radiallahu anhu did not feel comfortable with this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed this. So he told him, aren't you pleased to be so close to me like Harun was close from Musa, except that there is no prophet after me, which shows the position of Ali radiallahu anhu. We will continue with this inshallah next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. We were talking last time about the virtues of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه, and we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم where he said to Ali رضي الله عنه, aren't you pleased to be so close to me, as close as Harun was from Musa, except that there is no prophet after me, showing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last prophet of Allah and the last messenger of Allah, and showing that Ali radiallahu anhu was so much beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was so much close to him.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him this to comfort him because he felt bad to be left behind in the battle of Tabuk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to stay behind. And Ali radiallahu anhu was not used to stay behind, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to stay behind. But he was so brave that he was always in the front field. And that is why he did not feel good when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to stay behind. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so merciful to the believers, and he noticed this in Ali, that he was not comfortable. So he told him this statement to kind of comfort him. And he told him that you are from me, such and such. So this is from this hadith we see that Ali radiallahu anhu was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith does not mean anything else, because some innovators claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means by this that Ali radiallahu anhu must be the Khalifa after him, and this is not true in any way. If you notice the story, you will find why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this to Ali. And Harun was the brother of Musa, and all the companions are brothers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are beloved by him, they are close to him, as we mentioned about Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. They were even more close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Ali radiallahu anhu. So this hadith shows the position of Ali radiallahu anhu, and that he was close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if Ali was supposed to be the Khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say it without fearing anyone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say it in front of all companions, and he would be ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say it. And if he does not say it, then that means he kept hidden something which he was ordered by Allah. And if he had done so, then he would have been considered that he did not deliver Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling him, you must deliver all what you are told. If you do not, that means if you do not deliver all that you have been told, then you have not delivered anything. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not keep anything secret from the Muslims, especially when it is something very important like this. And those who claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared in front of the Muslims that Ali is after him, the Khalifa, they are actually accusing all the companions of betraying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is impossible, because if we say this, then we are saying that Islam is nothing, because Islam came to us through those trustworthy companions. And therefore, if we say that those companions were not trustworthy, that they betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately after his death, then we are actually accusing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself to have such companions who were hypocrites, and who did not respect him and did not love him. And as soon as he died, they just broke the trust and turned away from Islam. And anyone who believes this is not a Muslim, and not a Muslim at all. Anyone who believes that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after him, he is not a Muslim. As a matter of fact, I don't know of even a Jew or a Christian who thinks that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from Islam or betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Jews and Christians, when they mention about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mention so many good things, and they never mention that those companions betrayed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how could someone who claimed to be a Muslim and still claim that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have betrayed him after his death? He is not a Muslim and he did not know Islam. He is accusing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take as companions some criminals. As a matter of fact, he is accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not choosing the right companions for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is accusing the Book of Allah of not being true, because the Book of Allah says very much about those companions, good things about those companions. It says that Allah was pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many other verses. And it all together boils down to the fact that if we break our trust in the companions, then we have nothing left. Because the Quran and the Sunnah is Islam, and both the Quran and the Sunnah came to us through the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another hadith about Ali radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Battle of Khaybar said that tomorrow I will give the banner to someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a lot of victory on his hand. He is someone who Allah loves and his messenger loves, and he loves Allah and loves his messenger. So the people, the companions, upon hearing this, they could not sleep that night. Each one was thinking, who is that person who will be given the banner tomorrow, and who fits this description that he loves Allah and his messenger, and he is loved by Allah and his messenger, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make great blessings for the Muslims on his hand. So when it was morning time, all the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one wishing to be that person. Each one loved to be that person who will be given the banner, and so on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? He asked for Ali radiallahu anhu. They said, O Messenger of Allah, he is complaining about his eyes. Something wrong was with his eyes. So he said, never mind, go after him and ask him to come. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spat in his eyes and he made dua for him, and he was cured, just like there was no pain at all in his eyes. And this was one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he spat in Ali's eyes and he was cured by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was only one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam miracles. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many miracles at that time. Once the Muslims were thirsty during the battle, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand and the water, springs of water, started to come from his hand, and all Muslims drank from this water. And once also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon knowing that the Muslims were almost starving, he asked them to bring whatever remaining food they have, piece of bread or whatever. So they brought everything and they put it in front of him. It was this much, and he made dua, and it was so much food for all the Muslims in the battle to eat and to keep for other times. So these are some of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many more, and the greatest miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Quran itself, because the Quran itself was a challenge
for the Arabs at that time, and the Quran was revealed in their tongue. They were speaking the same language of the Quran, and they could not take the challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make even one chapter of the Quran, one surah of the Quran. So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Ali the banner, and Ali radiallahu anhu said, "O Messenger of Allah, should I fight them until they become like us?" Meaning, should I fight them until they become Muslims? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Take your time when you go there. Take your time. In other words, be patient. Do things properly. And when you reach there, the first thing is that you should call them to Islam, because this was the purpose of fighting, to call people to Islam. And if they accept Islam, then there is no need for fighting. Call them to Islam and tell them what are their duties towards Allah, because by Allah, if Allah guides one person by you, then that is better for you than such and such. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning in this hadith, saying in this hadith, that Ali radiallahu anhu is the person who is loved by Allah and his messenger, and he loves Allah and his messenger, and he is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a lot of blessings in this battle due to his leadership. So this shows the position of Ali radiallahu anhu and how close he was from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, Ali radiallahu anhu was chosen unanimously by the Muslims to be the Khalifa after killing Uthman radiallahu anhu. After Uthman was killed, martyred, the Muslims chose Ali radiallahu anhu, and no one objected to this. No one objected to Ali radiallahu anhu. Of course, after Ali radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, problems started at his time. Some group of people who were called the Khawarij, who were described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the worst people on earth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those people must be killed, and there is a lot of reward in killing them. Now those people claimed that Ali radiallahu anhu is going against the Book of Allah, and they immediately separated from his side. They were on their own side, and they claimed that Ali radiallahu anhu was not a Muslim because he was not acting upon the Book of Allah as he should. And therefore they caused a lot of trouble for the Muslims, and Ali radiallahu anhu fought them, and he almost killed all of them. They were almost 8,000 of them. 9 of them were left only, and the rest were killed. And those 9, of course, remained, and they made groups later on. But anyway, Ali radiallahu anhu had the great virtue of killing those people also, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended for the Muslims to kill those people, because those people loved to break the unity of the Muslims, and to call all the other Muslims who are not on their side, to call them non-Muslims, and so on. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. We were talking last time about the virtues of Ali رضي الله عنه, and we reached the point where Ali رضي الله عنه fought the Khawarij and he killed the Khawarij, and this was one of his great virtues because the Khawarij were so bad that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described them to be the worst people on earth. And all the companions were fighting on the side of Ali رضي الله عنه when he fought the Khawarij. None of them stayed behind. All of them were remembering the hadiths of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم regarding the Khawarij. So they were fighting on the side of Ali رضي الله عنه against the Khawarij. Of course, at the time of Ali رضي الله عنه, some incidents happened which must be understood by the Muslims, because the enemies of Islam try to throw doubts at Muslims from those things which happened at the time of Ali رضي الله عنه. They try to accuse Islam and accuse the Muslims of wrong things and false accusations. What happened during the time of Ali رضي الله عنه briefly is that his misunderstanding with Aisha رضي الله عنها after the killing of Uthman رضي الله عنه. Now the killing of Uthman رضي الله عنه opened a gate of troubles and problems, because when Uthman رضي الله عنه was killed, Of course, Aisha رضي الله عنها got very angry. She was in Mecca, and Uthman of course was killed in Medina. And when she heard about Uthman رضي الله عنه and what happened to him, she insisted that those who killed Uthman must be brought immediately and must be executed immediately, so that they will be an example for the others, and so that the matters should not be chaos. When some people do not like the Khalifa, they just jump on him and kill him. So Aisha رضي الله عنها insisted that those who have killed Uthman must be executed immediately. And the companions who were in Mecca, such as Abdullah ibn Umar and others, they agreed with her, and therefore they decided to go and discuss the issue with Ali رضي الله عنه and to fight those people who came to Medina to create troubles and finally kill Uthman رضي الله عنه. Actually, even though there were only two or three who jumped in the house of Uthman and killed him, but those two and three were only a small part of the whole group, which was by thousands, three or four thousands or more, who were brought to Medina by a plot from a person whose name was Abdullah ibn Saba. Abdullah ibn Saba was Jewish before he pretended to be a Muslim, and then when he pretended to be a Muslim, he came to Medina and he started showing that he is a righteous man, a pious man, a worshipper, and so on. Then he, after staying for a short time in Medina, he left Medina going to Basra and Kufa and Egypt. When he was in Medina, he was quiet. He could not say anything because the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were all there, and he could not fool the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he stayed in Medina for a while just to be known amongst those people who come for Hajj, for example, and come and visit Medina and visit the mosque of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to see him there, and because he had some
people around him who make propaganda for him, that he is a pious man, he is such and such, and so on. So later on, when he went to Basra and Kufa, he started his plot, and he started saying bad things against Uthman. He started making up stories, wrong, false stories against Uthman. He said Uthman did such and such to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he did such and such to Ammar, he did such and such, he did such and such against the Sunnah, and so on. So he was making propaganda against Uthman and against the leaders which were assigned by Uthman, the leader of Kufa and the leader of Basra and so on. So of course there were so many ignorant new Muslims who followed him. They followed his propaganda. They thought he is a pious man, he is jealous about the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on. And this is unfortunate, because the ignorant Muslims are subject to follow anyone. This is very dangerous. The Muslim has to be very careful, and he should not be so stupid to be fooled by anyone. So this led to the fact that those people from Basra and Kufa came to Hajj, and they objected to Uthman openly. And Uthman radiallahu anh told them everything that they said was wrong, and he proved it to them. And later on, Abdullah ibn Sabah made another plot, and they insisted to kill Uthman radiallahu anh. And after Uthman was killed, Abdullah ibn Sabah was still there. He was hiding. Due to the plot of Abdullah ibn Sabah, Aisha radiallahu anha and her followers came into fighting with Ali radiallahu anha, because when Aisha came from Mecca and Ali came from Medina, they met at a point between Mecca and Medina or some other place. They met and they were discussing the issue, and they agreed that that those who killed Uthman cannot be executed right now, because Ali radiallahu anhu said, we cannot do it right now because this will involve killing a lot of Muslims. So what he meant is that we will do it later on when the situation is calmed and more suitable, and he was right. But anyway, during that night when they agreed, Abdullah ibn Sabah and his followers made another plot. At night they made themselves two groups. One group went into the army of Ali, and one group went in the other army of Aisha. And they made it as if each group is jumping on the other group, is offending the other group, and they started the fight between them. But anyway, this fighting, which happened between Aisha radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anha, was something which is beyond their control, and also it was the problem started because Aisha felt that those who killed Uthman must be executed immediately. And it was her ijtihad, and some other companions agreed with her on that. And when the fighting stopped, because Aisha radiallahu anha saw a sign which she remembered the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that some of his women will be involved falsely in an affliction, she immediately stopped and she repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ali radiallahu anha honored her, and he sent her back to Mecca honorably and respectably. So this is the thing that happened between Aisha and Ali radiallahu anhuma. We see very clearly that it is not a matter of fighting for the sake of positions or whatever, because Aisha cannot seek any position. women are not allowed to lead in Islam. So she was not seeking any position, and she was not seeking any dunya, any anything of the worldly gains, because after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wives of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam just remained in their homes, and they did not wish for any of this life. The problem that happened between Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhu was similar, because Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was a cousin of Uthman, and he was the leader of Sham. So he felt that he is in position to revenge for his cousin, for Uthman. Not to revenge, but to take those who killed him into custody. So it is in Islam that someone who is in position and he is the relative of the murdered, then he is in position to take those murderers into custody. So Uthman, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, felt that it is his job to go and bring those people who killed Uthman and kill them. When Ali radiallahu anhu noticed that Muawiyah was about to do this, Ali felt that this is not the proper time. So he sent immediately someone to him, telling him to resign from leadership in Sham. But the people in Sham insisted that Muawiyah should go ahead and do what he was thinking to do, and that Ali radiallahu anhu has no right to ask him to resign, because they felt that Ali radiallahu anhu would only have that right after the murderers of Uthman are killed. So they told him, you don't have to obey Ali until he executes those murderers. And he agreed with them, and that is why the fighting happened. So anyone who claims that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was fighting Ali for the position or whatever, he is claiming a false claim, because there was no position for Muawiyah. All the companions agreed that Ali was the Khalifa of the Muslims. So Muawiyah would not dare to say that this is my position, or I am fighting for his position. This is false. And the companions would not do this anyway. They would not fight each other for worldly gains. And any Muslim who considers himself to be a righteous Muslim must not think of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that way, because they were so much faithful, and they were so much attached to the hereafter and not to this life, and their main concern was the hereafter and not this life. And when Muawiyah radiallahu anhu fought Ali radiallahu anhu, it was again for his ijtihad. Of course, Ali radiallahu anhu was right and Muawiyah was wrong, but this does not mean that Muawiyah wanted to fight Ali for his position. The fact that he was wrong in his ijtihad, that's something which could happen to any scholar. He could make an ijtihad and he could be mistaken. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the leader makes ijtihad, when the scholar makes ijtihad, then if he is right in his ijtihad, he will have two rewards, and if he is wrong, he will have one reward. So he makes his ijtihad and he is wrong in his ijtihad, and he gets a reward. So the point is that the Muslims should know that the enemies of Allah are working day and night to spoil their belief and to make them doubt their religion by any way. And there is no better way to make them doubt their religion than making the Muslims mistrust the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if we mistrust the companions, then we don't have anything left, because all our religion comes through the companions. So the Muslims have to be very careful, and they should know that the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work day and night to take the Muslims away from the right path, from their religion. They know they are jealous from Muslims. They know that the Muslims have the right faith, and that the Muslims are the only ones who worship Allah alone, and that there is no other group of people on this earth which worships Allah alone except the Muslims, who say La ilaha illallah. No one is worthy of being worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go to the virtues of Talha ibn Ubaidillah, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and another companion, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu. Those are two companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who were Muslims from the beginning of Islam, and they fought on the side of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battle of Badr and other battles. Now, we must notice that those who fought the battle of Badr with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they have a special virtue, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have declared his pleasure with them, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have said that those who fought the battle of Badr will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said that they will not go to hellfire, meaning that all those who fought the battle of Badr are people in paradise, and as a matter of fact they have high ranks in paradise. We will continue with the virtues of Talha and Az-Zubayr next time inshallah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.